At Greenbury Point in Annapolis, Maryland, a group of midshipmen, middle schoolers, and Cub Scouts are volunteering their time and energy to clean up one of the nation's largest waterways.
It's the Chesapeake Bay. It's a great place to be, and it's just a great place to live.
What about seafood? Do you like crabs?
Yeah, lobster and crabs are my favorite.
Crabs are just one of the species suffering, though, thanks to the Chesapeake Bay's high levels of pollution. And it's the pollution that got the U.S. Forest Service involved. Sally Claggett and Al Todd are program managers.
Certainly crabs and fish and most things living in the bay suffer to some degree from the pollution of the waters, the over-enrichment with nutrients.
Well, nutrients such as nitrogen and phosphorus and even sediment, they occur naturally in the bay, but right now they're in amounts that are toxic to a diversity of life.
Also, parts of the ecosystem that really provide habitat for fish and crabs are one of the things that's missing from the bay ecosystem right now. And the large part why it's missing is this nitrogen pollution and the changes in water quality.
The health of the bay has gotten so bad that various laws have been put into place to cut down on pollution in the bay, from restrictions on development to programs designed to control runoff from farms.
Try. Stamp it down.
The U.S. Forest Service and today's volunteers are focusing on helping the waters of the bay by planting trees along a peninsula.
No, you do that after you put this stuff back in.
So hold the tree.
It's surrounded by water, so, you know, with the pollution in the bay, it's kind of an effort to create a buffer to keep less pollution from getting in, less sediment from flowing into the bay.
They're planting what's called a riparian buffer, a line of trees or vegetation beside a waterway.
Forests were the natural ecosystem that occurred along most of our streams and shorelines in the Chesapeake Bay watershed historically, naturally. And riparian or streamside forests are like a last line of defense for a stream. They serve as a living filter, so to speak, as pollutants are moving towards a stream, whether they're coming from runoff or from the air or from groundwater. The riparian forests work as a filter to help remove them.
Over time, the natural forests disappeared to development. So the U.S. Forest Service and the state of Maryland are now trying to replace those forests.
We're planting that tree over there, and it's a tulip tree. It's starting to look beautiful when it's done.
Oh, look, what's that?
It's a worm.
What is it?
A earthworm.
It looks like an earthworm.
It helps the soil.
Neither an earthworm or another kind of worm.
It's hard to believe, standing here on Greenbury Point, that within a mile is one of the biggest urban areas in the Mid-Atlantic region. The sprawl extends from Delaware to Maryland to Washington, D.C. to Norfolk, Virginia. And it's the effect of this sprawl that the U.S. Forest Service is trying to address.
So in an urban setting, we really try to look hard at the entire tree canopy. It's not just the buffer, but the whole tree canopy within the city itself. The green, what we like to call a green infrastructure. You know, cities are composed of a lot of different infrastructures. And most of the attention, if not all the attention in most cities, is on the gray infrastructure, the streets, the sewers and the water supplies. But it's really that green infrastructure within the urban setting that helps to mitigate the problems related to the gray infrastructure.
So in addition to planting riparian buffers, trees have now become part of urban and suburban development policy. For Soundprint, I'm Katie Gott.